You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Gym Class here in KGYM on this Thursday, the 22nd of July. Listening in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, which you can find at KGYMradio.com. You can also listen to us via the KGYM mobile app or your smart speaker as well. Thank you for coming on board as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me in a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette will join us. Plenty to talk about. We'll preview the state baseball tournaments, and we'll talk a little Colonels baseball with you and other events and topics with Mr. Johnson. We'll do that coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Get you ready for a pair of local teams going for state softball championships in Fort Dodge tonight. That and a whole lot of college football news to discuss. Day one of the Big Ten Media Days going on in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Field. And we'll kick that around today as well. Text line available, and I would imagine it'll be active today at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. If you want to talk with us one-on-one, we'd love to hear from you. And that number also at 319-366-1600. On this busy Thursday, Mark comes in from his back porch on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. A pleasant day going on, and hope you're having a good one. Thanks for taking us along.
Yes, always appreciate that. We are presented by the DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. You can find out more by going to our website as well at kgymradio.com and just click on the link. I made a word, clink. Click on the link. And find out more about helping out your finances by going to dupaco.com. Again, 319-366-1600. Big Ten Media Days, Mark, going on in Indianapolis. Half of the conference meeting with the media today. And started off with Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, and I guess his unofficial State of the Union address, getting ready for 2021-2022 as far as Big Ten play is concerned, not only in football but all the sports. But football, we know, carries the weight, carries the banner, et cetera, et cetera. And a few things today, a few nuggets, if you will, from Kevin Warren today.
Yeah, the main news in my mind came from Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner. Otherwise, you've got 7 coaches who believe they're going to be very, very good this season. A lot of optimism, as usual. They like their teams, on and on and on, from Brett Bielema to Loxley at Maryland to James Franklin. And we'll have more of it tomorrow, the second day of Big Ten Media Days in Iowa, and Kirk Ferentz will be there tomorrow. As far as the news, outgoing Wisconsin athletic director Barry Alvarez has been named a special advisor to Kevin Warren for football. Read that, football czar, Scott.
Yeah.
As he will advise Warren on all things football. And secondly, Warren did not address the issue of forfeits as they may relate to COVID-19 during the season, as other conferences have. He said he's going to consult the various schools and maybe have an announcement in mid-August, but you would anticipate the Big Ten to follow suit with other leagues. And then finally, talking to a New Jersey publication, Warren said he was open to and probably will rotate the Big Ten Conference championship games. He said it was open to having the championship game at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, and this has been met with a lot of comment. In fact, it's a subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thank you to Steve Anderson and his team. Folks, would you like to see the Big Ten championship game change locations? Yes or no? Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com.
You know, we've already defied odds once on a Super Bowl in New York, New Jersey, that had one of the warmest days in early February of weather history. Why would you want to try to defy the odds twice and have a December day in the Big Apple as a somewhat 38, 39 degree day? Have they not been to enough Pinstripe Bowls?
There's nothing wrong with Indianapolis, is there?
No. Great city. Easy to get around. Beautiful city. Indoor stadium, by the
exactly.
way. Although, I will say this, and see if you agree, Mark. If your team is involved in said championship game, you don't care if it's on the moon or not. Am I right?
Well, of course. Ohio State knows the hotel rooms and the restaurants in Indianapolis very well. But others who have been there maybe once or twice, like Iowa, Michigan State, Wisconsin's been there a couple times. It's really quite an honor. But no, you don't care where it's at. But just Indianapolis makes so much sense. And for Kevin Warren to want to spread it around, where else will he spread it around? He's talking about Minneapolis, Nebraska. I mean,
nowhere in Nebraska. There's nowhere in Nebraska. Well, U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, obviously indoors as well. So that's, I suppose, a possibility. Ford Field in Detroit, also indoors. Perhaps that's a possibility. But you're talking about MetLife Stadium. That's outdoors. You're talking about Soldier Field. That is going to be outdoors. Cleveland or Cincinnati. I would imagine Cleveland would probably be a little bit more Big Ten-ish than Cincinnati would. But that, of course, is an outdoor stadium, outdoor venue. And I don't know. They did this with Big Ten basketball tournament. Didn't really go over real well in Washington, D.C., and out east a couple times. Maybe they just need to experience it a couple times. And then, oh, yeah, Indianapolis wasn't too bad.
We'll see how this pans out. But a lot of folks disagreement with having a Big Ten championship game in New Jersey. Granted, Rutgers is part of the Big Ten. But as you mentioned, it's an outdoor stadium. Fans would have to travel a great distance. Unless Rutgers is somehow in the championship game. But we'll see how this plays out. But I don't think it's going to play out very well.
7010 on the text line saying that we are not being progressive enough. Change is good. Spread the wealth. I'm just thinking about, yeah, granted, like we said earlier, the school's fans are going to come. You don't. If Iowa is playing Ohio State, both teams are undefeated, in MetLife Stadium, you don't think they're going to have 70,000 there? Of course they are. It's just we're thinking of the fact that the weather to get there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a little bit better in Indianapolis. That's all I'm saying. And Big Ten's going to do what the Big Ten wants to do. And if they can make as much money or more money going from Indianapolis to New York for 1 year, then the Big Ten and Kevin Warner are going to take it on the road, baby. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I'm just trying to be practical, 70-10, and you say spread the wealth. You're not going to be able to spread it to all 14 teams. You can't have a championship game in Iowa or Nebraska. You mentioned a couple of the venues, Scott, Minneapolis and Detroit, that could be utilized. You can't spread it everywhere.
Everyone's still getting a piece of the pie, though, too.
Yes, they are.
There's no doubt about that. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there. We do appreciate you weighing in as far as the text line is concerned. Always great to interact with our listeners out there. And indoor stadiums only, please, says Jeff on the text line. And hey, you know, you could put it in Minneapolis. You could put it in Detroit. Those are indoor stadiums as well. So why not? We'll see.
Yeah, championship game deserves optimum conditions. 72 degrees, no wind, perfect environment. I think a championship game deserves that.
Yeah. As far as the media days itself and the coaches, you mentioned, Mark, everybody is a champion, and that's what media days are for, and that is what we have come to hear over the years. Iowa will meet up with the media tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz will. And looking forward to that. Depth chart, first one of the year, came out today for Iowa, for what it's worth. And notable, I believe, that the fact that two true freshmen coming in are on said depth chart, including 1 year removed from playing at Kingston Stadium, Cedar Rapids Kennedy offensive tackle Connor Colby is listed as second string at right tackle right now, Mark.
Yeah, and Keegan Johnson, the wide receiver, the second true freshman on the depth chart. I texted my grandson, who went up against Colby a time or two, and asked him what he thought. Of course, he didn't get back to me. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Grandpa. Good to hear from you.
that's a great start for Colby, who I think he and Johnson both, among others, entered Iowa early to get things started, and
correct,
he's obviously off to a pretty good start.
Correct, yeah, they were both early enrollees. Keegan Johnson wearing the famous number 6, by the way. 6'1", 197-pound freshman out of the suburbs of Omaha. And then, of course, Connor Colby, 6'6", 298. Can we just call him 300? Can we just put it up to 300 now?
After tonight's meal.
Be 300 by the time the season rolls around. And he is listed at second string behind Nick DeYoung, the sophomore out of Pella, at right guard. Tyler Linderbaum on a watch list today. What's new? And the junior center out of Solon, of course, anchoring that offensive line. And other than that, not a whole lot of things that are eye-popping. As far as the depth chart, we kind of knew what it was going to look like. Yaya Black is in as a redshirt freshman, as a starting right tackle now, out of Marshall, Minnesota. And also notable, still the backup free safety, our friend Quinn Schulte out of Cedar Rapids Xavier. And good to see the preferred walk-on right there behind Jack Kerner, the senior out of Dowling at free safety.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't get to yesterday, and very briefly, Cleveland.com held its annual poll. I've been doing it for years, and maybe we did get to this.
We did not. We apologize. We were going to, but we did not.
Yeah, Wisconsin picked to win the West, and Iowa second.
And Nebraska down the line.
Yeah, but they're going to be good. Scott Frost feels real good about his team.
Very good. No slogans for Scott Frost this year, though. Nothing like that. And very interesting. It's a different-looking media day. According to the pictures, it's a podium, all the reporters there. Just a little different look as far as Lucas Oil Stadium is concerned in Indianapolis. 319-366-1600. We'll get a Eagles Hideaway scoreboard. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit as we're also closer and closer to the start of the Olympic Games, which will get underway with the opening ceremonies tomorrow. I hear it's live. It's in the afternoon in Tokyo, from what I understand. But
I think it's on NBC at like 6:30 in
yes.
the morning.
So in the morning, okay, AM, not a PM, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. So that is coming up tomorrow. If you'd like to set that alarm, British Open time, Open Championship time, Mark, and go at it again for another 3 weeks or so, be our guests.
Japan is like 12 hours ahead of us. Is that right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. 319-366-1600, 19 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here in the Gym Class program on KGYM. Day 2 of Oklahoma and Texas. And what are they going to do? And what are their plans? And the most notable The most notable situation coming out of there today is that there is definitely smoke because the Big 12 reportedly is going to hold a meeting with their constituents at 5 o'clock this afternoon, Oklahoma and Texas, and discussing their possible reasons for departure from the Big 12. Now, it's been kicked around, Mark, a lot that this is stemming from contract extensions for the media rights as far as the Big 12 is concerned. Saw that earlier today, but just moments ago, Chris Williams from Cyclone Fanatic has just tweeted out, per a source, I am told the Big 12 never asked schools to extend media rights until 2030. Source says, quote, that absolutely never happened, unquote. So maybe they were using that as a smokescreen, as an excuse. I don't know. Texas and Oklahoma saying, pump the brakes on this. We're not exactly sure. We would like to have the rights pushed out to 2030 the way they are right now. As people know that follow college athletics, the Big 12 media contract, not quite as lucrative, certainly as the SEC or the Big 10 at this point. And if that's the reasoning behind Oklahoma and Texas looking elsewhere, then, as we said yesterday, it is a M-O-N-E-Y situation for those two schools. But anyway, they're gonna talk. Bob Bowlesby and everybody in the Big 12 going to have a big sit-down Zoom coming up less than 2 hours from now.
Yeah, athletic directors and CEOs of the Big 12 conference schools are going to meet, as you said, at 5 o'clock. And I don't anticipate any kind of vote, although Texas A&M and Missouri, according to reports, have expressed that those two schools are a hard no.
Nope.
for Oklahoma and Texas to join the SEC. So so much goes into conference realignment, and in this situation, two schools wanting to leave one conference for another. It's not as easy to go from one school to the other. You just do it. But it's not quite that simple when you're talking about a big issue like this.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And there are many factors. First of all, it sounds like even if everyone signs off on this, it will not happen until 2023. That's number one. Other people are saying it might not happen until 2025 unless Oklahoma and Texas pay astronomical exit fees as far as the Big 12 is concerned. They're going to have to pay a lot, period, to get out of the Big 12. We know that. We also know Oklahoma and Texas have very deep pockets. There's no doubt about that. I am not going to play the what-if game and start rearranging deck chairs here as far as schools are concerned until we know exactly what's going to happen out of this meeting today. You know, this team going to this conference, that team going to this conference, merging of conferences. And again, we've said it before. I've said it before in this program. I do believe in the next 10 to 15 to 20 years, we are going to see super conferences come up, and they are going to be not under the jurisdiction of the NCAA. I think they're going to be under their own set of rules, if you will. And if that includes the AAC or the Mountain West or whatever the case may be, it's amazing how Boise State has suddenly become a popular commodity again in the last 24 hours, Mark.
And this is all driven, obviously, by college football, the main moneymaker for conferences and schools, and to a certain extent, men's basketball. I mean, you and I were talking earlier, Oklahoma and Texas leave the Big 12. It will have a shadow of a conference in baseball. It already is a hybrid type situation in wrestling. It's all about football and, to a certain extent, men's basketball.
True. And, of course, keep in mind, Texas has the Longhorn Network out there that they have to protect. And I'm sure they're thinking about that. And quite frankly, the Big 12 in Texas never got along. I know Mike Colas just put out a column that he put together about you knew what you were getting into Big 12 when Texas was there. I have to read that yet, but looking forward to doing that a little bit later on this evening. But I guess this is not a surprise to anyone. I'm not sure if Texas and Oklahoma leave, the Big 12 can stand without those two on their own. Maybe it goes back to the Big 8. I don't know. We'll see. But it's going to be a much different looking conference and a much different conference, period, taking away the two bell cows. Sorry, the rest of the league, but Oklahoma and Texas, when you think of Big 12, you think of Oklahoma and Texas.
You do, and I think I agree with you on the development of super conferences, maybe four in the next, decade and a half?
Yeah.
Something like that. I think we're headed in that direction. I think later more than sooner. But we'll see how this meeting this afternoon pans out. If there's any updates, Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn will have those during their show from 4 to 6.
True. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you, and that is our phone line as well, 319-366-1600. Boy, college football. We got media days going on for all the conferences. Now we got the talk of the expansion of the SEC to 16 teams. Missouri and A&M just do not. They've played in the same sandbox with Oklahoma and Texas. They are running the other way right now and trying to get as many many people that they can get on their side as far as the SEC schools are concerned to join them and keeping them out. As you said, they need one more school to block this attempt, if there is an attempt at all, with Oklahoma and Texas leaving.
Yeah, why do you think Colorado left the league?
They love the West Coast.
They didn't want to play in that sandbox either.
No. No. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class. We're going to talk to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette coming up here in just a little bit. As we mentioned, the Big Ten Media Days continue tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz will be in Indianapolis with players and more on the Hawkeyes coming up tomorrow. You'll have that, Mark, as well as your topic du jour coming up tomorrow, dealing with the Olympic Games, correct?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Back half of the show tomorrow, we're going to ask you for your most memorable moments in Summer Olympic Games history. I think there's so much out there that folks will have a cross-section of some of their favorites. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, very much so. And I will catch the podcast of that. I don't think it's going to rain tomorrow, Mark.
That's okay. We'll fly this dingy solo.
There you go. There you go. All right, 328. Let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and behind Taco John's. And we got softball championship games starting up tonight at Fort Dodge.
We do indeed. Lisbon and I'm sorry, I lost my place here.
Lisbon and North Lynn.
Lisbon and North Lynn going for state championships tonight. It is championship Thursday in Fort Dodge, at least for a couple three classes. But those games will be going on this afternoon and evening. Major League Baseball, only one game being played this afternoon in an abbreviated schedule. Detroit, my goodness.
Red hot.
Detroit Tigers. They are playing excellent baseball and have beaten the Texas Rangers, not the greatest team in the world. But Detroit has won 7-5. We'll have the Twins tonight against the Angels. First of a four-game set, 6:30 on 107.5 FM. Very much looking forward to that series, seeing Shohei Ohtani, among others. The Olympics are underway. We mentioned yesterday the United States women's soccer team losing its opener to Sweden. The United States softball team has gone to 2-0. Having defeated Canada 1-0 on preserving that victory with a wonderful relay from the outfield that would have tied the game for Canada. So U.S. 2-0 in Olympic softball play. Next game Saturday against Mexico. And finally, the NFL has done what many college conferences have done and said any team that can't field a full squad or has to pull out of a game, it's going to be a forfeit. It won't be rescheduled this season, so you have that.
And it will affect the playoffs. If that keeps you out of the playoffs, then as they say on the golf course, rub of the green, Mark.
No doubt about it.
And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. So like college, like the NFL. By the way, this is not Iowa news or local news or anything like that, but I thought this was very interesting and entertaining. The Superdome has a new sponsor, Caesars. It will now be the Caesars Superdome, Mark.
Pizza, pizza.
No. Not a little.
Casino.
Oh, yeah. No.
How foolish of me. How foolish.
So, yeah, that's coming out. You can see that coming because the Mercedes-Benz was on that. And then, of course, Mercedes-Benz Stadium came in Atlanta and probably not enough room for two of them in the same NFL division. So it went by the wayside. There you go. 319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back. Mr. Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette to join us, and we'll preview the state baseball tournament. We'll talk a little baseball with you as well. You're listening to The Gym Class, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. Back with more after this.
As summer heats up, so does the sports betting action at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code Hanson, H-A-N-S-O-N, and your first wager is totally risk-free up to $600. Place your bets on all the exciting showdowns in MLB, MLS, and more sports from around the globe. And when you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials on big games. From breathtaking goals to colossal home runs, the king of sportsbooks takes every play to a new level of excitement. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code Hanson, Hanson with an O, to get back up to $600 on your very first wager. With BetMGM, you're just a few taps away from turning game time into showtime. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This time of year is one of the deadliest due to drunk driving crashes. This year, we hope you enjoy spending time celebrating with family and friends. Just remember, buzz driving is drunk driving. If you're going to drink, plan another way home before the celebration begins and encourage your friends and family to do the same. Even one too many drinks increases the risk of a crash while driving. Be responsible and make a commitment to driving sober. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Back with you in the gym class here in KGYM. Twins baseball coming up tonight at 6:30 on the Gym OT 107.5 FM. Twins and the Angels. Kenta Maeda facing his former teammate, Mark, in Shohei Ohtani tonight. So that should be very interesting.
I hope it's fun, as it was last night when the Twins salvaged a split against the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of to-do last night. Your main Mercedes, who was recently sent down to AAA by the White Sox, if you recall, he got off to the great start. Kind of put the Sox on his shoulders the first month of the season. Kind of a career minor leaguer. Was sent back down, announced abruptly in the middle of a game last night that he is retiring. That is not the case. He is back in uniform today for the Charlotte Knights. So I am glad to see that. I'm not exactly sure what all that was about, but he's back. He is back.
Yeah, he is in uniform for the AAA team and probably out of frustration more than anything else. But he is a 28-year-old rookie, and although he got off to a very strong start, you got to continue to perform.
Yep. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Speaking of baseball, always good to talk baseball with our next guest, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And you can read his stuff at thegazette.com. We encourage you to do so. You can also give him a follow at JJ66. That's JEJE66 on Twitter, as we all do. And if you did, you got a chance to see a very svelte Jeff Johnson in his 1984 Cedar Rapids Washington baseball uniform a few days ago.
I can't believe I actually weighed that little at one point in time in my life. So, and I had hair. Two really, really weird things to me at this point in my life.
So. You know what? First thing I thought of when I saw that picture, it took me back to when you and I were playing against one another. But first thing I came into my mind, I bet you can figure it out.
That we eliminated you guys your senior year.
Yeah. No. We're gonna gloss by that. Only time you beat us in four years, by the way. He's got wheels.
Yeah, that's another thing I guess that goes through my mind. I could run back in the day. I don't want to run anywhere now. So.
Well, none of us do, Jeff. None of us do. Yes, the late great Coach Herkelman would tell us that whenever you came up. So anyway, there you go. That's the past. That's 84. And we move to the future now, and we get ready for the state baseball tournament. Two venues, 3A and 4A, will be at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. Merchants Park and Carroll will host 1A and 2A. And you got to see the Prairie Hawks last night get into the state tournament.
Yeah. You know, they didn't have anything going for five innings, and, you know, it didn't look good at all. Cedar Falls pitcher was doing a great job of, you know, keep him off balance and throwing breaking ball for strike and everything. And, you know, they only had six outs to work with and we're down two. And on, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they finally got going offensively and, you know, walk, single, you know, double. And just like that, you know, Prairie had the lead. So, you know, it's good practice, I guess, for what the pressure will be here as they advance to the state tournament next week.
Well, Jeff, how are you guys at the Gazette going to handle the two different sites? You've got three Metro teams at Duane Banks Field and Lisbon and Albernett up there in Carroll.
KJ and I, he wanted to wrestle for it. See who got to stay close to home. But I said no. Actually, he's going to Carroll. He has a sister that lives in Audubon, which is pretty close to Carroll. So he's just gonna handle everything out at Carroll and just stay with her and spend some time with her. So
good.
The Wheelers, Jeff.
I thank you.
The
for
Wheelers.
That.
The Audubon Wheelers, by the way.
That's right. 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Well, staying with Prairie, it's a team that's got a lot of talent, quite a few college players on this Prairie team. A lot of arms that are going to be pitching in college next year. And they got the 5 seed. They take on West Des Moines Dowling in the first round down in Iowa City. They are the 4. With the arms that Prairie can throw out there, they can compete with anybody.
Yes, they have a lot of depth. And I would assume that Jackson Novy will get the ball. He's headed to Kentucky next year. And their lineup's pretty good, solid 1 through 9. I will give you a name here, and I assume that this is who Dowling will pitch. Blake Larson. He's a freshman, and he's already committed to TCU. One of the top players, if not the top player in the state in that class. 6-0 with an ERA of 0.88 as a freshman. So, I would think that in the first round game between Dowling and Prairie, that runs will probably be at a premium, as the old saying goes. So expect a low scoring game, but we'll see how it goes. You know, they're going to play on turf too. That's kind of the first time I think for just about everybody. Although I think Southeast Polk out in the CIML has turf, so yep. Maybe those CIML teams will be a little more used to playing on the faster surface. So, we'll have to see. But, yeah, could be a really good pitching matchup in that first-round game between Prairie and Dowling.
Jeff, before we get to Marion and Xavier in 3A, I wanted to ask you about another Valley team in the 4A field, and that's Dubuque Hempstead. Not sure if you saw much of the Mustangs. Hempstead has drawn the 6th seed against one of the 4 CIML teams in Johnston. What do you know about Hempstead?
This is it's been a really good run, for the Mustangs. The last couple of years, they were really good last year, and made it to the state tournament. So, they had a number of guys that back from that team. A really good hitting team. I glossed over their stats. I want to say they hit something like 320 or 324 as a team. So, offense has been. It's been kind of a constant for the Mustangs, and it's interesting. Pleasant Valley is the 1 seed at 34-4, and the Spartans swept through MAC competition. You hardly ever see that, right?
No.
The four losses I think Pleasant Valley had were all to MVC teams, and maybe one CIML team if I remember correctly. So it'd be nice. If the Eastern Iowa could go, could maybe do some damage in this tournament. Seems like it's been, certainly a Central Iowa dominated event here, over the last few years, with the exception of Prairie winning in 16,
yeah.
Right? Wasn't it 2016? So, we'll see.
3A, as Mark mentioned, top 3 seeds, we know them well. Top 5, as a matter of fact, all from Eastern Iowa. Number 1, Marion at 34-6 for Coach Fish. The Indians get the number 1 seed, as they deserve to. But then you got Xavier in there at number 2 after beating Solon last night. Dubuque Wallert is having a very good year, a 30-win team for the Golden Eagles. They are at number 3, and then you got Central DeWitt at 4, and they beat Assumption last night to get to the state tournament. And they, of course, play 4A schools now, basically, throughout their schedule. So that gets them ready to go. And then Waverly Shell Rock at 5. So a lot of Eastern Iowa going to Iowa City.
Yeah, and, look at the teams that didn't make it from Eastern Iowa. Solon, I think, won 29 games.
Yep.
You mentioned Assumption, which is always a great, which is a great program. Decorah was 28-6. Independence was 127 games, and none of those teams, made it to the state tournament. So, wouldn't it be something if that Saturday night we have an all metro final in 3A between Marion and Xavier? That would really be something. Obviously, there's a lot of baseball to be played, and before that. And just think, you know, Xavier was all but beat the other night against Bondurant Farrar down, you know what, three runs, I think it was, in the seventh inning. And, you know, the Saints found a way to tie it and win it in extra innings. And now here they are, certainly a threat as we head to the 3A state tournament next year. And, you know, Marion, been able to see Marion a couple times. That's a really good ball club, really good hitting ball club. Have two really good arms in Bodie Ray and Owen Puck. So, you know, there's a reason the Indians are the number one seed. And, you know, I like this 3A field a lot. I think it's really strong for sure.
The very last opportunity for the Marion Indians to win a state championship. come August 1st, it will be known as the Marion Wolves. Have you been practicing that, JJ?
No, but I did get an email from an angry reader a couple weeks ago when I covered a game and mentioned them as the Indians. And the reader said, in case you haven't noticed, which apparently you haven't, they're known as the Wolves now. So I had to politely, of course, correct the reader and point out that they still are the Indians until officially, I guess, until the summer season's over. And the summer season won't be over until next week sometime. So it will be strange to try and get used to that, Mark. No question about that.
Logo is out. Looks very nice. Very nice logo.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of good things. When you look at the high school over there, they're going to build a football stadium back behind the school, brand new auditorium. So, I mean, Marion's got a lot of, athletics-wise, has a lot of really good things going on right now. And, you know, what, I guess one more year of playing at Linmar for the football team. But, Scott, I'm trying to figure out where the heck everybody's going to park when they start playing football games at the school, because there's not really any parking over there to begin with.
Well, we can park along the road behind left field at the baseball stadium and just walk on over, right?
Yeah, it could be, and I guess that's really not really any different than playing at Thomas Park, because there really wasn't any parking at Thomas Park either. So
no.
But that's a ways away, and you know, I know this. Everybody in the community is really excited about this baseball team, and you know, it'd be nice to get Coach Fish, who's been in the game a heck of a long time, to at least the state championship game for the first time.
That would be great. Nicer guy you will definitely not find. 2A and 1A is where things got a little bit crazy. 2A, you've got only one rated team. That's the number one seed, Van Meter. And then you got New Hampton and knocked out the number one rated team. And up and down the line. By the way, congratulations to the Denver Cyclones, where my wife's niece's husband is the head coach. Another appearance for the Cyclones up there. It's 2A is kind of Van Meter, and then who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't look past Comanche either. That's a really good ball club. I'm looking at the record, 23-6, and man, that must have been an epic game the other night against Dyersville Beckman that ended, 12-11, or I think it was the final score.
Yep.
In extra innings. Everybody knows how great the Beckman program is. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of teams right around the 500 mark somehow that made it to the state tournament. And then, as you mentioned, Van Meter is probably the pretty big favorite, 28-7. And like I said, don't look past Comanche. I think that's, you know, they've had a nice run of athletics there. When you look at, you know, basketball and football and now, certainly baseball.
They're also not going to be the Indians next year too.
Is that right? I did not know that.
Yes. That was, I believe Matt Koss, had that, a little while back, but,
I'll be darned.
There you go. So they're, last go of it as well. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us at 3:48. 1A, you got a couple of Tri-Rivers teams, and not one that you probably figured would be there, or one that you thought would be there isn't there. Top two rated teams in the state went down on the same night when North Lynn lost, and Mason City Newman, who was like 34-1, got beat by one game under 500 Northwood Kinsett that night.
Yeah, and then what? Northwood Kinston, I think, got 10 runs,
yep,
maybe in the sub-state final to Lansing Key.
Oh, so, when you have one pitcher.
that was probably as big an upset as I can remember, Scott, happening in quite a long time for Northwood Kinston to knock off Newman. And then, you know, Northland getting beat on the same night. 1-2 go down. And, you know, but the Tri-Rivers is a good baseball league. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And you look at, you know, still having two teams getting there in El Burnett, which, you know, was in the 2019 state championship game. So, you know, handful of those kids have that experience under their belts. And then you look at Lisbon, which, you know, doesn't have any seniors on the roster and plays, what, I think six or seven sophomores in the starting lineup. So, you know, youth is served, as the old cliche goes. And, you know, those kids are probably too young to be nervous at this point, right, in this stage of the game. So, great accomplishment by Lisbon to, you know, to get as far as it has. And obviously it's going to be a huge handful, you know, as here in the next couple of years when all those sophomores become, you know, juniors and seniors.
Jeff, you're still busy with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. And my main question, and I wasn't 100% sure, someone asked me the other day about the playoffs. And if I recall reading your story, it will be a championship game and will involve the two teams with the top winning percentage, regardless of division. And do I have that right?
Yeah, it'll be a best of five series. First two games would be at the lower seed, I guess, or the team with the second best record. And then the final three would be at the ballpark of the team with the best overall record. And, you know, I think you can probably mark Quad Cities in there. They've got the River Bandits have by far the best record in the league. They're 20 some games over 500 right now. It would take a total collapse for that first year Royals affiliate not to make it. And then that second bid, I mean, there's a number of teams. I mean, Cedar Rapids is right there, you know, basically tied or half game or a game behind, you know, a couple teams over in the East. I think Dayton's in there, and Lake County as well kind of has a very similar record of, you know, 5, 6, 7 games over 500. So it's that second spot is going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past Cedar Rapids to make it to the finals. And wouldn't that be something to have a kind of a neighborhood final in the first year of the Hackle, as I call it, the High A Central League, you know, if Quad Cities and Cedar Rapids are to match up there.
Can they commute then? Would they be able to commute, have a commuter, old-fashioned commuter series then, or you know?
Probably not. I mean, they're not commuting right now, and Cedar Rapids has been to Quad Cities twice already for series. Quad Cities has not been here yet, and I know Cedar Rapids stayed down there for the entire week, both times, both series, so... Yeah, weird, huh? What's the drive? About an hour and 15 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, if that.
From here to Davenport, roughly?
If that. Well, if you stop at I-80 truck stop.
You know, and you're staying in a hotel, but, you know, Major League Baseball is calling the shots, and that's what they want, so that's what they're going to get.
How has this schedule been received, and will it continue? The six-game series, Monday off, and then another six-game series.
I honestly think, Mark, this is what's going to be normal now. I think, you know, again, Major League, it's all about Major League Baseball, and I think Major League Baseball likes it. You know, the clubs like it for their minor leaguers. You're not, you know, on a bus making, you know, overnight trips from one place to another, and you're not constantly on a bus, basically. So I think this is how it's going to be the rest of the way, you know, next year on out. That'll be taken up certainly in the off season, but, you know, talking to enough people, you know, I think the managers like it, the players like it, everybody kind of likes it. I mean, the bad part is, you know, you're playing the same team for a week and that gets kind of old, and you're seeing, you know, the same pitchers maybe a couple times, starting pitchers a couple times in a series, and, you know, relievers obviously multiple times in a series. But I think all in all, it's been well received by those experiencing it, and I really do think that this is what you're going to see moving forward, beginning next year on a permanent basis.
Interesting. Are you angling to try to get an immediate pass to the Field of Dreams game, or is that just going to be a national thing?
No, we've applied. Haven't honestly heard anything yet, but we're going to try and go. So I wonder if Major League Baseball is charging media outlets to cover the game. Knowing Major League Baseball.
No, I mean,
anyway.
Yes, and here, insert your blackout, Major League Baseball blackout joke here.
Yes, exactly. Scotty, have you applied to try, or, you know, get in the lottery to try and get a ticket?
No, I did not.
You did not? You didn't want to watch your favorite team play the Yankees and...
Oh, I'll see it.
One-off stadium?
I'll see it, but nah, I don't need that. How about the push to keep the stadium around and maybe have it not only as a yearly host for a game, perhaps a major league variety, but, you know, maybe there of course is the talk of having, you know, the state baseball tournament there, which I think might be cool. I don't know. We'll see.
Who knows? You know what's going to happen with that. I mean, that'd be an awfully long trip from Western Iowa, you know. I don't know if that would happen just because of that, cuz it's so far east, but
Comanche ain't no hop, skip and a jump to Carroll.
No, you're right. You're right. You're 100% right. And you know, I don't have any inside knowledge on what's going to happen, but I seriously question whether or not they're going back to Des Moines with this thing. Just because, of the week-long series and everything like that. Now, I don't know that for sure. I don't think that's even been discussed much. But it would not surprise me, let's put it that way, if they don't go back to Principal Park for this thing. And you know, maybe the two sites will be a permanent thing. I don't know that. I know that the IHSAA, someone from the IHSAA visited Prospect Meadows during the Metro tournament to kind of see how that was worked, with four games going on at one time, which was great, by the way. I don't think that's viable because there's just not enough seating right now out there. There's just not enough bleachers or anything like that. But the rest is great. You know, you got four fields that you can – actually six fields, I think, you can employ.
Happens.
And who knows? You know, like you said, you can throw the Field of Dreams in there. So, I don't know. I don't know. I just have a feeling that the thing might not go back to Des Moines, and I could be all wet and totally off board, off base with this, and it wouldn't be the first time. So.
All right. Hey, we got to run, Jeff. Thanks. Appreciate it. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk soon.
Boys, thanks very much. Take care.
All right. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. And we need to step aside and get you ready for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And that comes up next right here on KGYM. Twins and the Angels coming up tonight at 6:30. Mark, you've got the Olympic topic tomorrow and more from Big Ten Media Day. So enjoy it, and we'll talk to you through the weekend.
Sounds great, Scott. Talk to you then.
All right. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us on the program today. We do appreciate it. And Mark will be back tomorrow at 3.
Twins baseball is back for the 2021 season. Are you ready to get live?
And that's gone! Target Field explodes!
Make sure we can prioritize your seat at Target Field by visiting twinsbaseball.com.